On today's podcast, take 36, the psychedelic sounds of the 13th floor elevators by the 13th floor elevators and Easter Everywhere by the 13th floor elevators.
Trust the Wizards present Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s. Before going on tour with his band, Guided by Voices, in 2001, Robert Pollard recorded his favourite records onto 62 double-sided cassettes. Music from 1966 to 1971, from the best-known bands of the era to obscure, unheard-of psychedelic curios. The Wizards are on a mission to listen to and explore every groove. Kicker and Chorizo invite you to turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream as you listen to Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s.
Okay, so we're going to look at the first two albums by the 13th Elevators. I think, actually, two of three. I think they only did three albums. Their debut album, The Psychedelic Sounds of the 13th Floor Elevators, came out in October 1966 and featured Rocky Erickson on guitar and vocals, Tommy Hall, very importantly, on electric jug, Stacey Sutherland on guitar, Ronnie Leatherman on bass, Benny Thurman too on bass, and John Ike Walton on drums. And it's thought, I don't know if we're going to question this, but it's thought that this is the first album to talk about psychedelic rock.
Yeah, well, it's also thought that maybe these guys invented the phrase.
Right. But they can't remember, probably.
Probably not, no. And it starts off with the only song by the 13th Floor Elevators that I knew up until a few weeks ago when we started listening to this, which is You're Gonna Miss Me.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned before on this podcast about a little cassette box set I used to have called The Psychedelic Years, which had a few other things that we've listened to on this podcast before. Yeah. But You're Gonna Miss Me was on there, and I really liked it then, and I still really like it. And The Wave Pictures, who I've seen many times, sometimes with you as well, I've seen them do a cover of this song. Yeah. A very, very good cover.
It was
of
a hit, wasn't it? It was a hit.
It was, yeah. A Billboard top 100.
Top 55.
Top 55, yeah. That was all I knew of this band, really, until we started, until a few weeks ago.
That sound on that song is the sound of the band, isn't it? So you've got your electric jug.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know who else plays an electric jug, I'm not sure, but this is on most, if not all, their songs.
Country music.
Oh, right, okay.
The Loving Spoonful song, a Loving Spoonful song I really like, which is where it's called Jug Band Music, and he says, and the doctor says, give him jug band music, it seems to make him feel just fine. That's like the repetitive bit of the chorus. Other than that, I can only think of The Muppets. There was an episode of The Muppets.
Excellent.
Where they sang a song called Mississippi Mud.
And I would imagine then if the Muppets were on LSD, they'd sound pretty much like the 13th Floor Elevators.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean,
a lot of LSD. like the 13th Floor Elevators.
Well, I mean, obviously it's not just about the electric jug. There's I think the vocals are quite distinct too. They're a bit wild, which we always going to like, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think actually that You're Gonna Miss Me sounds a little bit like an LSD'd up Van Morrison.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to them later on, but the screaming and the high-pitched vocals, I mean, I don't know if that had really been done before this period. I think it was he the first to do that, because obviously, you know, Led Zeppelin and Ozzy Osbourne and all that quite a bit later. Mm. There's a story, I've got this magazine here, from Mojo magazine from April 2010, with a really good article about the 13th Floor Elevators in it, written by Paul Drummond, who I think has written the whole book about them now. It says in there about how Janis Joplin was a friend of theirs from back in the Texas days before they went to California, and she kind of went and asked Rocky Erickson if she could kind of borrow that kind of thing,
all right, okay.
Because she liked the way he did it, and he basically taught her how to do it.
Cool.
Is the story.
Well, it's very cool. Well, we should say right from the outset that Rocky, of course, real name Roger.
Yeah.
Roger Kinnard.
Yes, and he took his the Rocky bit from the first two letters of his first name and the second two letters of his middle name. So I wondered what would happen if a few more musicians of the 60s had done that. Yeah. So instead of John, Paul, George and Ringo, we would have had Joey, Japa, Jaw and Rich.
Nice.
Because George and Ringo, quite unhelpfully for this for this little exercise, don't have middle names.
Okay.
We've also got Jaddo Morrison from the Doors. Jaddo Morrison.
Yeah.
Because Douglas was quite a popular middle name, it seems, amongst people of this era. So we've got Jaddo Morrison, Raddo Davis from the Kinks, and his brother Raddo and Daru Davis. Rohad Altrey.
I mean, I'm sorry, listener, that we're just going to spend the rest of this podcast coming up with these names.
Yeah.
What was David Bowie's middle name?
I don't know.
That's a shame.
Don't know. He's not on my list, I'm afraid.
No.
Miff Jagger. Miff. Michael Phillip is his name.
Yeah.
So Rohard Daltrey, Joel Entwistle, Kejo Moon, and P.D. Townsend.
Well, of course, he was just doing research.
Yes, Peter Dennis, thankfully, not Peter Douglas. Jeff Morrison for Van Morrison, who you've already mentioned. George Ivan is his real name.
Yeah, okay.
So he's Geoff, Jeff, but with a V at the end.
Cool.
Yeah.
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 Well, good.
Yeah.
So at least you haven't been wasting your time.
No.
So that's good. Shall we talk about the album?
Yes.
All right. So, it's interesting that you say it starts with You're Gonna Miss Me, and that is true, but that wasn't what the band wanted, actually.
Well, it's certainly not Tommy Hall. Yeah.
So there is an alternative track listing, which perhaps we should consider at some point. But anyway, yeah, You're Gonna Miss Me does open
some. Can I just get it? Because this is a unique episode of Robert Pollard's Guide to the 60s, because we're actually in the same physical space today.
Yeah.
We're in the same room.
Actually,
which is
a bit too close.
Yes. This never happened before, so I can just reach over and pick up the album that you've got here.
Yes.
And is this the alternate? This is the on the back cover.
No, the back cover is not the alternative listing. I don't think the back cover is basically telling you to take LSD.
Yes, very much so. And it was the whole album is really. It says here in this Mojo article, Tommy Hall, who was the big LSD evangelist in the band, he kind of almost dictated to everyone in the band that they had to take it every day, and they were only allowed to play when they're on LSD.
Yeah. It's a bit like you in this podcast. With
yes,
me, isn't it?
You
demand that of me. As
yeah,
well.
John Ike Walton was I had a bad trip early on and was excused from from LSD duty, but after a while of doing this, they realised that it was impossible to do this and function as a human, so they made it like every 3 days.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, that's far more sensible.
Yeah.
But it says Tommy had structured the tracks into a loose concept that based around LSD, inevitably, that began with an individual's self-awareness, you don't know, followed by rejection of conventional society's programming through the rhythm and Monkey Island,
a
desire for a higher purpose.
Right,
roller coaster fire engine.
Yeah,
a warning against doubt and possible failure. Reverberation tried to hike, don't fall down. And the moment for the ultimate goal, You're Gonna Miss Me, splash one. And then the kingdom of heaven being, we've arrived, we are in heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the order it is on the back, actually.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah, but the it's a very different running order, because they basically put You're Gonna Miss Me at the start, because it was the hit.
And I'm going to say their best song. There's quite a few I like on here, but I do like that one the best.
We'll come back to that. It's not my favourite on this album. No. But I think that. So you've listened to that album in that order, have you?
I've listened to the album in both orders because I've been doing.
I've only listened
proper
to it in
research
the, in the released order.
Well, because I've got a. I can't remember when it was when this came out. I haven't got the original album. It's obviously a repressing, but it comes out in a mono and a stereo version, and the mono version is in the order that you would expect, starting with You're Gonna Miss Me, going through Roller Coaster, Splash One, etc. And the stereo version, it's a 2010 remaster stereo version, in the band's intended running order.
Right. Okay. And which do you prefer? Do you have a view?
I mean, when I'm really on the LSD, I think probably the stereo version, the band's idea works for me. I mean, actually, I think I probably do prefer that because I'm quite happy to wait for You're Gonna Miss Me, which comes halfway through side two, as opposed to it being the first song.
Right, right. The other thing I noticed on here, we will come to it with the second album because there's an actual a Dylan cover, isn't there?
Yeah.
But I thought that they've been listening to a lot of Dylan, and there's a bit in this article where it says they thought that Dylan had basically declared the psychedelic era open with the line, "If he needs a third eye, he just grows it," from "Can You Please Call Out Your Window" in 65, and then bringing it all back home, and Highway 61 were massive touchstones for this band in terms of their, you know, their lyrics. I know you just before we started recording, you said for you this is mostly about the sound of the band, whereas for me, I got quite a lot of lyrics which I thought were very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. But I also like the sound of the band. So should we talk about it in the order that... Which order do you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about the order you listen to. You're going to miss me then. Is it about the lyrics? I mean, it's not.
No, not really. Not really that one. And I don't think that fits with the LSD tripping concept.
No, it's a fake.
I think that's been put on after the fact.
Yeah,
And then Roller Coaster, which is definitely a pro LSD song.
Yes.
All the other songs pretty much are, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
And they're obviously, I think they're talking about a trip. Come on, let it happen to you. You've just got to open up your mind and let everything come through.
Yeah.
And it starts like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, and it has a scream halfway through.
Yes, and the third verse where it says, "After you trip, your life opens up. You start doing what you want to do. You find that the world that you once feared gets what it has from you. No one can ever hurt you, but you know more than you thought you knew. And you're looking at the world with brand new eyes, and no one can spoil the view."
Right.
I mean, that's, yeah, spoken from the point of view, not of John Ike Walton, who had a really bad trip on his second ever time he took LSD. Yeah. You probably wouldn't agree with most of that.
Well, I think we should say don't try this at home.
Little
spoiler alert there.
Yeah.
It's a good song though, isn't it?
It is,
And then everything slows right down.
Mm.
Splash One, which I think is the only song on the album without electric jug on it.
Yes.
It reminded me a little bit of Love.
Yeah, there's a few bits on this album that reminded me of Love.
So I think
they're
definitely an influence as well.
Yeah, yeah. The bridge section of this is really good. All we might say is understood, it says there. And there's a really cool lead guitar melody. And then it's joined by another lead guitar melody. But the main chorus just says, "Now I'm home."
Yeah.
But why? Any idea why it's called Splash One?
No. Is there any explanation?
No, I have no idea. I thought you might know.
No.
This is one of the songs which apparently she's not credited anywhere, but apparently Clementine, who's Tommy Hall's wife, wrote quite a few of the lyrics for some of these songs, and that was one of them that she apparently wrote.
And do we think the lyrics were written under the influence of LSD or went after?
I don't know.
Come out.
All we might say is understood. That's kind of like, you know, we don't need to talk. We can communicate somehow.
Mm.
I don't know. Mm. Tony, just going back to the jug thing then.
Yeah.
Because I believe it divides opinion.
Really, does it?
Yeah. Because it's not even a jug, is it? It's basically, well, it is a jug, but he's not playing it like...
He's not blowing on it.
But normally, you know, like when you get a beer bottle and you can blow over the top of it, makes that kind of sound.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not what he's doing.
Oh, is he not?
That's how you play a jug in a country jug band.
Yeah.
He's just got a jug and he's kind of vocalising into it.
Yeah.
I've got a cup of tea here.
Yeah.
A finished cup of tea. And he's just going... just a kind of percussive...
Is he doing that?
That's basically what he's doing.
He's not blowing on it. I'm hugely disappointed.
He's
now
just vocalising into it.
He's singing through a cuff.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. And I quite like it, but I believe that... I mean, my question is, would this album be... or both of these albums be pretty much just as great if it didn't have any of that on it.
No, for me, no. I think it's integral to the sound.
Yeah. I mean, I sometimes you forget it's there. On some of the songs, like the last song on this album, and I'm sorry to jump ahead.
Trying to Hide.
The last song, I think it's brilliant, and it really adds a lot to it.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting percussion on that song.
Yeah. Isn't there? Yeah, on some of the other songs on the album, you kind of forget it's there, and then
Did you want it to be there, though? Did you miss it when it wasn't there?
I'm going to miss me. I don't know. I don't think... I think some of the songs would be just as great if they didn't have the jug on it.
Well, I mean, the band themselves, the musicality is fairly chaotic, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
I can't remember where I saw it, but there was a quote that described it as being unfettered mayhem.
Yeah.
Which has got to be a good thing, right? And if you've got unfettered mayhem, I don't think you need to worry about whether there's a jug there or not, probably.
No.
But I don't think without the jug it would sound like the 13th Floor Elevators. You might, because I would associate that sound with them.
They can really play, though. When they went to California, because I forget the chronology of it, but it's in this article somewhere. They had various drug busts and reasons why they couldn't leave Texas at different points.
Yeah.
So they just had a period of time where they were just in Texas, and all they could do was just play music all day, and take acid. Mm. So then when they went to California, they were like very much considered the best band around. The early Grateful Dead. The Grateful Dead couldn't really play at that point. Jefferson's Airplane were around, but they weren't really very good, and Big Brother and the Holden Company, and they were all kind of going to see the 13th Floor Elevators and saying, wow, these guys can really play.
Yeah.
And the 13th Floor Elevators and others apparently were saying, of those bands, they can't really play.
Right. Yeah.
Seems strange when, you know, whether you like the Grateful Dead or not, you have to say, well, they're very good musicians, but apparently they weren't at this point.
Well, I think if you, for example, if you take the jug sound off the next song on the album, which is Reverberation, it's a totally different song because it's really high in the mix.
Yes,
and I think it would detract.
And I think that's got more of a Bad Trip feel to it.
Yeah, I like that one. It's a bit evil.
The minor key, and it says, "You think you'll die, it's just a lie."
Yeah.
I knew this song already, funny enough, because the Jesus Mary Chain
did a cover of it on the
Sound of Speed compilation.
Mm.
That's really good. You start to fight against the night that screams inside your mind.
Yeah.
Yes, it's getting a bit dark there.
Yeah.
It's getting a bit dark.
And again, it says, then there's another slow one. I'm not sure that the slow ones work as well, I have to say. For me, the really noisy ones are the ones I like best there.
Well, funnily enough, the next one, Don't Fall Down, is one of my favourites.
Oh, really?
On the album. And I really like the contrast between the music of the verses and the choruses. The choruses, again, reminds me a little bit of Love Forever Changes.
Mm.
And the repetitive backing vocals, just singing Don't Fall Down throughout the verses. And then there's lots of different voices later on in the song, when the very high backing vocals saying, do you feel it? All these different voices going on concurrently. And it was all a little bit unsettling.
Okay.
But I know I really liked it. And I also thought, well, I bet that song sounds amazing on LSD.
You didn't... No,
I didn't try that out. I'm just imagining.
Yes. Okay.
But then the next song, which is a fast one, and it is probably my favourite on the album.
Fire Engine,
yeah.
Do you like the siren effects?
Yeah, I think I like all of it. Mm. It's all of it. And it's just like, a fairly simple three chord out and out rock and roll song, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's
some excellent singing on it. I mean, really wild singing on it.
Yes. But I think, well, it's great, but you can also see why it wasn't a hit.
Yes, you can.
Because the production's a bit muddy.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true of the whole album, actually, isn't it?
And we're
going to go and talk about the next album, but there is an increase in what they knew they were doing in terms of production, isn't there?
And the sound quality is better.
Yeah.
But, well, that's one of my favourites. Mm. And then we're on to Through the Rhythm.
Yep. That's a bit evil as well, isn't it?
It's sinister.
Yeah.
It's sinister. This is one of the most Dylan-esque ones, I think.
Mm.
And that the bit where they've got the same rhyme at the end of lots and lots of lines. I've written down an example here. Through the rhythm of darkened times, painted black by knowledge crimes and repetition's pointless mime, instilling value the sick define, that weaves the fabric, keeps you blind and ties your hand and cloaks your mind. But on my stilts, I'm above the slime. And the very meter of that, and
it's
the fact it's all right, Ma, I'm only bleeding. You could sing that to It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding. So with loads and loads and loads and loads of lines that all have the same rhyme at the end, which is very mid 60s Dylan, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one as well.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Then we've got You Don't Know, which was originally thought to be the opening track.
Right.
So I don't know if that works as an opening track.
Yeah, just go back to what it says on this article then. So what's the idea lyrically behind that? An individual self-awareness. You don't know. Mm. That's the one that says you don't know how young you are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, and after the last chorus it says you don't know. And it kind of repeats you don't know, but then one of the backing vocals says you die young over the top of when they're saying you don't know.
Famous Welsh singer.
Die Young, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then they're off to the Kingdom of Heaven, which is again a bit slower.
Yeah, I didn't like that one so much.
Didn't you say, because I don't think there's a jug on that one, is there? But then, right at the end, there's a really weird noise where it goes, and I thought that could be the jug.
But I think famously, I think only Splash One doesn't have a jug on it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I might be making that up, but that's what I believe to be true. Kingdom of Heaven is slow. Of the slower ones, it's okay, that one.
It wasn't a favourite of mine, really, but it's kind of like, yes, we've arrived, we are now in Nirvana. We're all blissfully living and hyper aware in our LSD universe.
That's and then Monkey Island is then goes a bit quicker again.
Yeah,
that one it was stolen by the Rolling Stones, wasn't it? For Monkey Man, I thought they sounded very similar.
Oh right, well the bit at the end of the chorus where it goes C A is very similar to the bit at the end of the chorus of Get Off My Cloud.
There you go.
It's in a different key. I've Get Off My Cloud, I think, might be before this. Just about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, the bit at the end of the chorus where it goes, don't hang around, cos freeze a crowd, that bit.
Oh, yeah.
I think they might have taken that from the Rolling Stones.
Well, fair enough.
Possibly, but I don't know. I haven't checked the release dates.
No.
I love that one.
Yeah, good one.
Living on a monkey island, right in the middle of the zoo, living on a monkey island, pretending to be a monkey too. And basically the theme of it is that all the other monkeys, they don't know that I'm not like them. I feel it's cool. It doesn't have to be about, you know, heads and straights and you know, hippies and straights, but it could be in a wider context,
yeah.
And it's got some really good monkey noises at the end as well.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, it's a good one. I like that one as well. And I like the closing, Trying to Hide.
Yeah.
I particularly like the percussion on that, as I said before. It's kind of at a higher pitch than the one. I don't know if it's sped up. I don't know.
Don't know. I like the harmonica at the start. I would like to hear more harmonica. There's little bits of harmonica here and there on this album.
And less jug.
And I not necessarily less jug. Mm. I'd be happy with the same amount of jug, but more harmonica.
Okay.
And then that one at the end of it, where they kind of there's an instrumental bit at the end, where they're all going crazy, and the jug man is going, Tommy the jug man is going crazy too.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we should talk about the other album and then give our marks.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the other album, Easter Everywhere, came out in October 67, so basically 12 months later, featuring the same band.
Yeah.
And a cleaned up, well, a clearer version of the same sound, I would say.
Yeah, and produced by Leland Rogers, brother of Kenny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah. Obviously, probably their most famous song, apart from You're Gonna Miss Me, is Slip Inside This House.
Yeah.
It's being covered by Primal Scream. Yeah. It's one of the more tolerable songs from that album. by virtue of the fact that it's mostly Andy Weverall and hasn't got much actual Primal Scream on it. Yeah.
8 minutes on the album, this is. It was a single, though, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, it was a four-minute single. So I don't know if you got tired of the length of it, but there is a version of
I didn't. No, I really like it. I have no idea what the lyrics are about, but I love them.
I'm sure it's not about a house.
No. And I noticed that on the website, thenewperfectcollection.com, which is a very, very, very good music blog, and they did a poll a little while ago where people got to vote for your favourite songs that are 7 minutes or more, which I took part in, and lots of people in bands and various music journalists and stuff took part in, and the eighth most popular song of 7 minutes or over was Slip Inside This House. Shall I tell you the rest of the top 10 while I've got you?
If you can remember it, yeah.
Number 10, well, I've got it written down. Oh, right. I haven't memorised it. I wrote it down. Number 10, Heroin by the Velvet Underground.
Sing Along a Heroin.
Number 9, big favourite of both yours and mine, This Is What She's Like by Dexys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Number 8, Slip Inside This House. Number 7, Desolation Row.
Oh, yeah.
Number 6, Street Hassle, Lou Reed. Number 5, Hallo Gallo by Noi. Number 4, sticking with the German theme, Autobahn by Kraftwerk.
Yeah, good.
Number 3, Sister Ray by Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
Number 2, Station to Station, David Bowie.
Yeah.
Number 1, Marky Moon by Television.
Well, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
As a choice.
Yeah. I think Bob Dylan suffers a bit on that poll because he's got lots of songs you can vote for.
Yes.
So, you know. Yeah.
Slip Inside This House is excellent. I really like it. And I think, noticeably, the vocals sound better. Straight away on this album, I think the vocals sound better, and I think there's, for me, the sound of the jug is even better.
It's clearer. All the instruments are clearer than they are on the first one. We've talked about this before. I don't know if it applies here, but we've talked about the advances in technology around about 66, 67, where people weren't having to record on four tracks anymore, and there was eight tracks and things available. So I don't know if this applies here. We got Leland Rogers or Lellon Rogers, the producer. He said he took the album to New York. This is the first album, and he said that they had this big chance to go to London with a guy called Michael Jeffries, who managed Jimi Hendrix at the time. He was going to take Jimmy and the Elevators back to England. He wanted to make them as big as the Stones. And I called them, and they didn't want to go.
Were they stoned at the time?
Well, this then John Icke, the drummer, says that it was bullshit about us not wanting to go. You'd bet we'd have gone. Mm. We were starving. So some point between the first and the second album, they had the chance to go to England, and perhaps, I would imagine, with their drugs bust history, that might have been problematic.
Well, I would imagine too that, as far as I'm aware, and I don't know if this article suggests the same, but they were taking more and more drugs, weren't they, doing the making of this album?
Well, yeah, and
so
and
where they've gone from three once every 3 days to three times a day or something.
I don't know if it was around this point, but I think it was what's his name, Stacey, the guitarist, Stacey Sutherland. He was getting very into heroin around about this point, much to Tommy Hall's disappointment. He was very LSD or nothing. That's sort of garbage, actually, not LSD. Peyote, all the hallucinogenic stuff.
Right.
He was big into.
At what point, because Erickson obviously ends up going into a psychiatric ward, doesn't he, as a result of his drug taking. That's not happening yet, though,
I think that's 69. I think so. This article doesn't explain that. It stops before it gets to that point.
Well, I think they sound absolutely brilliant. First track, brilliant. I really love it. And then actually the guitar sound on the second track, I think, is really, really good as well.
Yes.
Really nice fuzzy guitar.
There's a really good guitar solo in the middle, and then it comes back at the end as well. And I like that in verse 2, well, the Slide Machine is the name of the song, Slide Machine. Slide Machine, it sweeps stones right off the road for the tandem trucks and the loads that they towed. And he's just talking about like a gritting lorry, isn't he?
Well,
what's that going to
mean?
Maybe we're
just being naive.
No, because then he's later on in the song, he's like hitching a ride on one, and he says he's trying to get back to you.
Yeah.
Kind of song.
Yeah. It could be metaphorical.
It could be. Yeah, it could be. Yeah. But I think it's not. I think he's actually talking about a machine that sweeps stones off the road.
Excellent.
Right. Yeah. But it's good. It's one of my favourites on the album, that one.
Yes, I like that one very much. Yeah. I like the next one very much as well, She Lives.
Yeah. Bit birdsy. There's a couple of songs where it goes a bit birdsy.
Is this the first time they've kind of harmonised as well?
A bit
of harmony on it, isn't there?
There's lots of harmony vocals on the song I mentioned before, Don't Fall Down. There's Birdsey and the opening guitar riff on the next song, Nobody to Love, is very sounds like So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star.
Mm.
It's very, very similar to tone and part on that guitar part that goes through most of that song.
Sutherland's singing on that one rather than Erickson, isn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah,
yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
Presumably there's some sort of link between this song and the Jefferson Airplane song. Somebody to Love,
Nobody to Love. Yeah, that hadn't occurred to me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's written by, so I've just picked up your album here. It's written by Sutherland, this one.
Mm.
Yeah, Nobody to Love.
Great guitar on it again.
It is. It's a good song. It's a good song, yeah. And then we're into Baby Blue. It says on the sleeve here, Baby Blue.
Yeah.
Spotify has it as open bracket, It's All Over Now, close bracket, Baby Blue. Oh. But that's not the name of the song. The name of the song in Bob Dylan's, for all the various Bob Dylan live versions, it's just called It's All Over Now, comma, Baby Blue.
Yeah, that's what I would call it.
Yeah, so, but it's a decent version.
I think it is.
Yeah.
It's a different tempo, isn't it, from the Dylan one?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit faster, and obviously it's got a band on it. It's good. It's one of my favourite Bob Dylan songs. But you mentioned them and Van Morrison before. They've done the best version of that song that there ever will be, in my opinion. That came out in 1966, so a little bit before that.
Okay.
That's the best version. It's a song that lyrically I've been fascinated by for years, and don't really know what it's about. But I think it's about death. I think a lot of people say it's about the end of a relationship, but it could be the death of a relationship, but there's so many references to death in this song.
Mm.
There's a theory that says that it's Dylan singing to, basically, newly electric Dylan singing to old acoustic protest Dylan, okay. that part's over now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also that it's about a relationship, with Baez or Suze Rotolo or whoever he was dating at that point. Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff about death.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, yeah. It's probably about all of those things.
Yeah.
All the saints go marching through, which is, you know, say, oh, when the saints is, that's singing about dying, going to heaven.
We don't care about that.
Yes, okay. So that's side one.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point,
mm-hmm.
side one, so much better than anything than the album before for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Are you saying then side two's not as good?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It has its moments, but I think side of the four sides that we're talking about, side one of the second album is my favourite by a mile.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't really agree with you.
All right. Okay.
Probably my favourite song on both of these albums is on side two, which is Dust. And I really thought you'd like it, because it sounds to me like Guided by Voices.
Is it?
Yeah. It's the most Guided by Voices sounding song we've had on any of these podcasts, in my opinion.
Well, that's an interesting point.
You should go back and listen to it again with that in mind.
Yeah, maybe I should. I've not noted it down as one I like particularly.
Right.
But yeah. I think I'm just averse to the quiet ones, the slow ones.
Yeah, it is a slower song, but it's I've no idea what it's about. The bit where he sings as I love you and it goes up high and now it's safe to say really sounds to me like Robert Pollard.
Yeah.
Really does. And it's not very often that I hear something and think this sounds like Guided by Voices, especially not something that predates Guided by Voices. Earthquake's good as well. The first song on side two, I really like that one.
That's a really good one.
And there's the rivers wave, reverse their course, the planet sways beneath our force. Again, it might be about drugs. It might just be about an earthquake.
It sounds like an earthquake.
It does. Well, there's that really long held guitar note in the middle as well, which is good.
Very good.
I've got Levitation.
Yes.
Which sounds a bit like Last Train to Clarksville to me.
Oh, yeah.
Melodically. That is about getting high, I'm sure.
I think that's probably the most psychedelic song on the album.
Yeah. Oh, I've got some favourite lyrics I've written down here as well. The ocean rolls below me, expanding plastic views. My vision comes to the nearest land and brings me the latest news. The waves of higher bodies soon dazzling in my ears will centre my vibrations with the music of the spheres.
Wow, there you go. Yeah. Poetry, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have a female vocal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was telling you that is Clementine.
That's Clementine Hall, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this one's quite love, I think.
Yeah.
And again, I think there's a bit of a Dylan influence there. The tune is quite Chimes of Freedom to my ears. And I really like the harmonica.
I was going to say you'd like this one because of the harmonica.
Yeah, there's
it's a solo,
good,
isn't it?
Good instrumental harmonica bit.
Yeah.
And then we're on to the last song.
Yeah, Leave Your Body Behind.
So you said you're not really into side two, so I think this is an amazing song.
Oh, really? Postures?
Postures.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's I think it's quite different to everything else that's on the two albums, because it's got a bit more of a sort of groove, almost a soul feel, and with that sort of...
The vocals are really good on it.
Yeah, but it's got that sort of riff that goes through it, which is a little bit... It reminds me of a cross between My Girl, the Temptations, and Stone Soul Picnic by Laura Nyro or The Fifth Dimension. It's kind of that G, E minor kind of thing. It also sounds like a bit like... Grooving on, do you know that song? Grooving on a Sunday Afternoon.
No.
It's by the Rascals or something like that. It's like a soul song from the 60s.
Okay.
And also, the bit in the middle reminds me of the bridge part of Dock of the Bay, says, looks like nothing's gonna change, that bit.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's reminding me of quite a lot of songs I really, really like. And it's a little bit soul. And it's not like... That's the first time we've heard anything really on these two albums that sounds like that.
Yeah, it does sound different. I'll definitely say that.
And again, the lyrics I think are very interesting. It's all about you're moving, keep on climbing, bathe in the sun that dawns in the darkness once the journey's begun. Leave your body behind. That's definitely LSD. Leave your body. And then midsection I really like. Your form can move. Your shape is composed of edges. Your form can move the edges of ridges of your own energy.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but I like it.
I mean, I think you're saying it's a soul number. I think that's right. And I think probably why I don't like it as much as the rest of the album is that it's too quiet.
I think
that the instrumentation completely comes down.
Yes, it does.
On this one, and maybe if it was on a different album, I'd like it more.
Yeah.
It just feels a little bit out of place to me.
But you're definitely much more about the psychedelic rock elements of
that's the stuff I really like.
Me too, but there's some slow ones I really like as well. Also, it's notable that not just Slip Inside Your House being nearly 8 minutes long or 8 minutes long or whatever it is, but all the songs on the first album are really short. And you know, there's an average song length of over 4 minutes on this album. And that last one, 6 minutes and something it is. So it has a bit of time to get that kind of groove going. So, and it's got some good instrumental bits in it. Yeah.
I think it's a great album.
It is.
It is definitely the one that I prefer of these two.
Yeah, me too. Are we ready to give some points?
Yeah, okay. I think I might have been a bit harsh here, but I gave the debut, the Psychedelic Sounds album, 5.5.
Okay.
There are songs on it I love.
Yeah.
You're Gonna Miss Me, Roller Coaster, Reverberation, Fire Engine. But that's it, really. And then the rest of it is meh.
Okay. Well, I like it more than that. I really like Fire Engine. I think that's brilliant. Monkey Island, Don't Fall Down, Reverberation. So I've gone 6.5.
Okay.
But the second album, I agree with you, is I like it a lot more. So I've got 7.5, which is one of the highest scores I've ever given to an album that is new to me on this program.
Well, I gave it a 7.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably about right, because you like the slower songs more than I do.
Yeah.
But Slip Inside This House, Earthquake, Nobody to Love, I've Got Levitation. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic songs. And the sort of songs that you drop into a playlist for some
Exactly. I like all those songs you mentioned, but I've chosen some very different ones, pretty much all the others, actually. Nobody to Love, Earthquake, and especially Slide Machine, Postures, Leave Your Body Behind, and the Guided by Voices one.
Yeah.
Dust.
Guided by who? No, should I check this band out?
Yeah, yeah, I think you might like them.
Okay. I'll love to check them out. Well, there you go. So that was tape 36. Now, tape 37, Chorizo, I'm going to give you a visual clue to who we're going to be listening
to
next. And it's on my chest.
Right.
Who's that?
I think that's there's a man with a hat.
Yeah.
A big hat.
Yeah.
And he's got a microphone, or is that some kind of instrument he's holding?
It's an instrument,
Is it a trumpet?
Yeah, kind of.
If it is who I think it is, then I didn't know they played the trumpet. But now I think it might be Captain Beefheart.
It is indeed Captain Beefheart, yeah. So next tape, we're going to be listening to Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band's albums Safe as Milk and Strictly Personal.
Robert Pollard's Guide to the Late 60s is a Trust the Wizards production. You can find out more at pollard60s.com and on Twitter at pollard60s. If you liked it, then please subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts. You may also enjoy their other podcast, which you can find at trustthewizards.com. Original music by the Malibu Storks. Kika Revelves and Chorizo Garbanzo are currently appearing in Waiting for Godot at the Mail Theatre in Leeds.